May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and our producer Joe Lindstroth is here with the remarkable story of one Lansing woman's struggle with mental illness. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. You know, that well-trodden narrative that links violence and mental illness is back in the media with last week's horrible shootings in Santa Barbara. But, you know, for every Elliot Rodger or Adam Lanza at Sandy Hook or James Holmes in Aurora, Colorado, there are many others who are more like longtime Lansing resident Jerry Nicole Wright. People who are just trying their best to cope with their illness and live as a normal life as possible. You know, in fact, statistics show that people who suffer from a severe mental illness are more likely to be the victim of a crime than the perpetrator. Jerry Nicole suffers from borderline personality disorder, which is a mental illness characterized by wide mood swings, impulsive behavior, and unstable relationships. She's had it most of her life, and she's worked extremely hard to keep the illness from taking over her life. She has a job. She's been sober for 24 years. She's been a member of Charter House, a club for mentally ill adults in Lansing, for 11 years. And she's been married for 2 decades. But as you'll hear, getting to this point in her life hasn't been easy.
As a borderline, I had a thinking disorder or a thinking illness. I would feel a feeling and immediately act on it. I had a lot of symptoms, a lot of struggles. I used to do self-destructive behavior.
When you were younger, before you were told what you had, how did this impact your relationships with other people, with your job, with school?
When I was younger, I'm thinking back to high school, I would be come in very depressed, very sad. But by the end of the day, it was like I was, you know, on cloud nine with my friends, my peers at high school. But even back then, I was off. You know, that's when the drinking started. That's when things were kind of out of control. My mood was just wasn't regulated.
And you mentioned the drinking. Was that part of how you coped with these feelings early on in your life?
That was how I coped, yes. I didn't know a better way. My feelings weren't validated in the foster home that I was brought up in. I didn't get a lot of maternal guidance and direction and teachings about how a lady conducts herself. And I tried many of the wrong ways to deal with my problems.
Tell me a little bit more about your childhood, Jerry. You mentioned that you were in a foster home. Take me through your childhood a little bit.
I just remember as a young child being in a state institution with bars on the wall, laying on a cot in a room, total silence, and looking at the bars, curled up in a fetal position, not covered up with a blanket, but on top of a scratchy wool blanket. Then after that, I went into a foster home. At first, the woman of the house treated me kindly, but then one day, as I was turning into a young lady around the age of 12, 13, she told me she hated me. But I didn't take it seriously. I thought perhaps, you know, she's just saying this, but I think her intention was to inflict emotional harm on me, which she did by her behavior and the way she treated me compared to how she treated her other two daughters.
And did you stay in that home until you were an adult?
I did. And to the age of 18, I left as quickly as I could at the age of 18.
How do you think your childhood played into your mental health?
My childhood made a direct impact on my mental illness because my diagnosis of borderline personality disorder is directly affected by the way I wasn't nurtured, and my feelings weren't taken seriously, my thoughts and ideas didn't matter.
And when were you finally given this diagnosis of borderline personality disorder?
It wasn't until many, many, many years later, that I was given the diagnosis after taking some sort of test in a psychiatric hospital. I don't know the name of the test, but they showed me images, pictures or dots or some sort of whatever, and asked what I thought of these things. And I tried not to pass the test because to me everything wasn't what I wanted to see in the picture, but I saw what I saw, and they were smart enough to know, you know, that I was borderline. I have all the hallmarks of borderline personality disorder. Some people have some, but I have them all, I think, because it started so early in my life in the institution, the pain and the mood disorder.
How did that feel, Jerry, to finally have a label or some words to describe how you were feeling when you got this diagnosis?
It was a relief in a way to know the diagnosis. Then it was also a painful thing, too, because that diagnosis is so cringed upon by some of the case managers, some of the people who are there to help you, the counselors at the Community Mental Health. But I see now that it's okay. It's okay.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Joe Lindstroth, and I'm speaking with Lansing resident Jerry Nicole Wright about what it's like to live with a severe and persistent mental illness. What was the turning point for you, Jerry?
The turning point had to be when a community mental health case manager back in 1994 called me. I was homebound at the time and asked if I would be interested in joining a new DBT skills group.
And DBT is short for dialectical behavioral therapy.
Right.
Which, just to give our listeners a sense, is one of the methods that is used to treat borderline personality disorder, which, without going too much into it, is one of the more difficult mental illnesses to treat. There are very few medications that work, mostly with symptoms, but not to address borderline
right.
personality disorder.
Right.
So explain how the DBT worked for you.
The DBT worked because first it got me out of the house. Like I said, I was homebound. And then I started learning different ways to think, learning about how my mind worked and how I could make it work better for me. I learned the first module, Core Mindfulness, about reasonable mind, emotion mind, and you take a little bit of both, and you have what's called the wise mind. And that's where we want our minds to be, especially with my diagnosis. It also taught me that the very last skill, radical acceptance, that, you know, I may not like something, but reality is, and I must accept instead of acting out or harming myself, radically accept the situation, you know.
Can you give our listeners an example of how that works in your brain, of how it taught you to change the way you view a situation or to change how you feel about something?
I would sometime cut myself, but after learning DBT skills, I stopped cutting myself. The particular skill is like tolerating the moment. The moment I felt severe pain, I had to tolerate that pain. And I knew that that pain would not last forever. So I could tolerate that pain in the next moment too. And I knew that the pain, if it still lasted, that I could tolerate it again for another moment. That skill is one mindfully in the moment, one of the skills that I used to help me manage the physical and the psychological pain that I was feeling that was so overwhelming, so severe. But I would just hold myself and say, I can get through this in this moment.
It sounds like, Jerry, that it's been a lot of hard work to get to where you are today. Did you ever think about giving up?
Yes, I did.
What kept you going?
The love that I had in my life. I had some love from my husband. I had some love from some dear friends. I know my family relations were strained. They still are, but I did have some love. When I made my first suicide attempt at age of 15, that was why I tried to take my life. because I had no love. And the mother rejected me, and the foster father was always away working. I told myself and my peers in high school that I couldn't live without love, so I made that was the reason.
And now you found love?
I have love. I have love for myself now. I respect myself, and I know I'm a good person. I try very hard on my job. I try to support my clubhouse, charter house. I try to take care and support my husband. We've been married 20 years this September, Tom and I. We've been married 20 years this September.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Joe Lindstroth, and I'm speaking with Lansing resident Jerry Nicole Wright about what it's like to live with a severe and persistent mental illness. Jerry, there are a lot of stigmas surrounding mental illness and people who have mental illnesses. They're not intelligent. They're not capable of taking care of themselves. They're weird. They're violent. That seems to be coming up a lot lately. Have you ever been stigmatized? And in what ways?
Because I have a mental illness, and because the society or the culture we live in shows that people with mental illness are violent and dangerous and, you know, like you said, not smart maybe, or might not be clean maybe, or people who don't have the mental illness might think that, you know, they need to keep a distance from them. I've seen that sort of behavior, people putting like a distance from me because they know I have a mental illness. But because there's a person on the other side of that mental illness wanting to find their way back. If they want to, you know, be redeemed, they want to come back and have a life.
When you sense that people put that distance between you and them, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel uncomfortable. Makes me feel, I don't, now with the DBT skills, take away any value from myself. But I'm hoping that maybe that person and maybe our culture, maybe our society will someday say, well, you're okay. You have a mental illness. You take your medicine. You go to work. You have your marriage. You have your home. You take care of your property. You know your husband cuts the grass while maybe you're doing the laundry in the basement. That maybe someday things will be different. You know that the social stigma might be removed somehow. And I think maybe that's going to take a lot of work. A lot of work.
Why are you here talking to me, Jerry, about your struggles with mental illness? This is very private. You certainly don't have to make your life public. Why are you here?
I'm here to be a voice for those who have yet to find the voice, those who are mentally ill. I would like to maybe reduce some of the stigma that mentally ill people are faced with on a daily basis, to let them know that they are nonviolent people who have an illness. That's like another illness, a physical illness, but it's in the brain. And that I want them to be heard. I want them to be thought of, not just in a negative way, but in a way where they can, you know, come and take responsibility for their lives and be included in life and not ostracized and cast to the side and, you know, let's forget about them, you know.
Jerry Nicole Wright is a longtime Lansing resident who suffers from borderline personality disorder, which is a severe mental illness. Thank you, Jerry, for sharing your remarkable story with me.
Thank you, Joe, for letting me share my story.
For Current State, I'm Joe Lindstroth.